When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Claudia. Joining, we are back with TGIF. Happy Friday. We're here to spill the tea and break down the biggest headlines in the news and on social media. Now, sit back, relax, and get ready to sip on this hot tea we got for you tonight. Please welcome Al Reynolds. What's up, Al?
Hey, what's going on, Claudia? It's Friday.
It's Friday. The weekend is here. I can't wait. And please welcome Armand Wiggins. What's up, Armand? Are you happy about it being Friday?
Yes, I'm extremely happy about it being Friday. I have a lot of friends coming into town, family coming into town. So it should be a festive weekend. So I'm ready for it.
Okay. Al, you got any plans?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm here in Charlottesville, Virginia, which is, you know, my alma mater, my undergrad, University of Virginia. And that's where Dawn Staley went to school, undergrad. Just want to throw that in there. I hope to see Dawn this weekend so that I can give her a big hug and congratulate her. But we're here this weekend for the Black Alumni Weekend. So we have it every other year. So all African-American students who went to the University of Virginia, we come together this time of year, every other year, to hang out, catch up, have fun, relate. And I think this is going to be a special one because we get to see Dawn, right? So I'm excited.
That should be lots of fun. Sounds like y'all have some good stuff going on. I'll be working. I got a part two of that movie due for the gram. We got to do some more scenes this weekend and Saturday. Very excited. I know I mentioned my prom closet project we got going on. Our first prom, Pinkston High School. Shout out to them. Their prom is Saturday night. So the young ladies and the young gentlemen that we outfitted from head to toe and got even getting their hair done and everything, they go to the prom on Saturday. So we're like the proud aunties, and I'm really excited to see them. And I'm really happy that we were able to do this, and I hope it grows for next year. All right, y'all, from their prom to our drinking. Are y'all drinking tonight?
Absolutely. UVA is a drinking school. Party hard, study hard, party hard. I'm doing champagne right now. I'm just pacing myself. As soon as I get off of here, no telling what might go down the pipes after that.
All right, Armand, what you got going down the pipe?
Listen, I got a long weekend, so I'm trying to pace myself. So I'm not going to start drinking just yet. I'm doing my water right now because this weekend is probably going to be a drinking full weekend. So I'm going to chill for now.
I'm going to save my liquor until I get to set because I'm supposed to do a love scene. And it's really weird when, like, there was supposed to be another actor, but it got switched out last minute. And, like, I don't really know him. So, like, it's hard to, like, have that chemistry, you know? Mm. And so, like, I gotta be drunk.
A love scene is crazy. Have you ever did one of those before?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah, I've done a couple. The movie Dear Frank, I had some with Brian White, Columbus Short. My character was she was doing her thing in that movie. And yeah, I had to do a lot of flashback scenes. It's fun though. Like,
how do you get mentally prepared for that? Just really quick.
Honestly, when the guy's attractive, it's a lot easier. You know what I'm saying? It's easy because it's like legal cheating. It's like you're having fun, whatever. But it's also not as sexy as people think because there's a lot of people in the room. It's not like it's like two people really getting in. There's like seven people in the room. There's a sound guy with a boom, like holding it over you like that. And then you have, you know what I mean? Like there's lighting. There's a lot of things you got to keep in mind. So a lot of people do drink for those kind of scenes. I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna hold y'all. But we do be getting our drink on the, we do. On Dear Frank.
Can I ask the obvious question, please?
Yes.
So the ones where you actually see like they're nude, is his ding-a-ling on your, in between
I've never done a nude one, but I hear there's these like tape kind of like pocket skin flesh colored contraptions they put over it. So your vagina and his penis will never really be touching. Word on the street is there have been certain movies out there that people have really taken the role really seriously and they may have gotten it in, but I don't want, I can't confirm or deny on some of those people, but I've never even done a topless scene. Like I haven't gotten there yet. Like it's gotta be more money for me to do all that. And I'm not really, I'm kind of modest with that kind of stuff, but I've done like lingerie.
The Players Ball, right? A lot of people said that Holly Berry.
Monster Ball.
They do say that.
Oh, someone said love scenes, alcohol. Is that a good mix? I mean, yo, there'd be a lot of weed and drinking on a lot of these sets. I'm just going to like keep it a buck with y'all. Like, come on. Do you think we could do that fantastic acting we do on Tubi without the alcohol? I'm just kidding. All right, let's get to these topics. It's been reported that O.J. Simpson will be cremated and there are no plans for his brain to be donated for CTE research. What? Can y'all believe that his brain was considered for research? Al, what do you think about this?
Oh, absolutely. You know, O.J.'s brain, O.J., let me tell you, OJ, remember, played in the league years, decades ago. It would have been awesome to have his brain a part of the CTE research, especially for the NFL, because they can't really prove anything until the person has passed. So they can't study the brain pre-death. And so it really would have opened up a lot of dialogue and conversation, as well as understanding not only in how he behaved in his personal life, but just on the effects of impact sports as it relates to the National Football League. Now, the best thing after that is the NFLPA has a health study at Harvard for the NFL players, you know, that are past players, and they are studying all parts of the effects of the trauma that their bodies have received over the years, affecting their heart, affecting their lungs, affecting their brain. So there's still hope. But for him, he could have really been, if it was researched, a thought leader in this space. And I'm just sorry and unfortunate that this opportunity wasn't taken advantage of.
All right, Armand, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I think it could be great for research purposes, like for CTE. But I also think that because it's OJ and who he is in the history, I feel as though it could get sensationalized in the media. So then it's one thing, it starts off as CTE research, and then it starts becoming this other thing that they found in his brain and, you know, his thought patterns, and maybe he was bipolar, schizophrenic, and, you know, all these different things that they will come up with in the media. And I think a lot of the estate is kind of like, you know what, let's let the man just rest, because we don't want this to become a sensationalized research project. So I feel like it kind of can go both ways. You know what I mean? It starts off as CTE research, but then it turns into something nasty and ugly. So I get it.
I hear you on that. I also think it's also a it could also be looked at as a missed opportunity for it to defend him. Like, well, he was a victim, or he was he had CTE, and that would explain some of the erratic behavior. But hey, either way, the family didn't want to do it. I guess he didn't sign off on that before he died, so we don't get to know that. But I would make a case that, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. There's been football players that have played in the league for lesser years than him have had substantial damage. And, you know, you open up, they get into that brain, they see all kinds of black matter in there and marks from the damage that has been done. So, all right. Cam Newton recently addressed the backlash he receives about his sense of style. Check this out.
I really study fashion.
Right.
I grew up in the church. Mm-hmm. So even though the Bible say, come as you are, Hattie Lou Newton wasn't letting me come in there with no Jordan shorts and some flip-flops. I had to press my jeans.
You coming as you are.
Come on.
That's how you are.
And I'm stepping.
Right.
All right, y'all. Why is it important for men, black men, to normalize having a sense of fashion? And how would you describe your style? Armand.
I love black men in fashion. And Cam Newton, you know, that's probably not my ideal style, but I like that he wears it with confidence. It's all about how you wear it, you know, and how you feel. So I think, it's a form of expression, you know, and when a man walks in the room dressed well, confident, smelling good, you treat him differently, and he's looked at differently, and he's respected. So I like it. And it's an alluring thing to have a well-dressed man. So I like it.
Okay. And how do you rate your fashion?
Mine? I mean, I'm the kind of person, like when I'm outside,
thin,
I like
to body.
I like to feel like main character energy. You know what I mean? So even when I'm like subtly chilling. You just know, like, you know, that dude's a star right there. That dude, he hit a little different. You know, I'm more of the details kind of guy. And so for me, I just feel like I'm a cool kid forever. I never, you know, we cool kids never die. We never get old. So I just feel like we just a vibe all the time. You
who
know?
Is that? Who's that in the red?
That's
I have
me.
Never seen you with that many clothes on.
That's me. It was a cold day in LA, but you see, I'm going to still give you chilling vibes, but it's a nice red monochromatic moment. You know what I'm saying? It's a vibe.
All right, Al, what about you?
You know what for me, Claudia? I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying this because, see, they are a couple of generations behind me. In our generation, we really didn't have a lot of people that pushed the limits like this. We didn't have a lot of the Stefan Diggs, a lot of the Shannon Sharps, a lot of the Cam Newtons, a lot of the Victor Cruzes. We had Andre 3000 was a forward thinker. You know, he used to dress like this without excuse. I'm just loving the fact that Black America and America in general are offering a safe space for Black men of color, respected Black heterosexual men of color who are athletes and are influential, having the ability now to put a scarf around their neck, to wear baby blue, to wear what I would consider a man purse, to wear colors. It used to be if you wore colors, anything that wasn't Black, brown, or blue, or white, you were considered sassy, or you would consider, let's just call it for what it is, you were considered gay. I'm liking this new era that we're in, and I'm liking the fact that men feel comfortable wearing tighter clothes, fitted clothes, tailored clothes, colored clothes, man purses, platform shoes, diamonds, jewelry, loop earrings, coloring their hair, coloring their nails. I like it because it shows us that you don't have to be one gender, or I mean one form of sexuality or not. You can still be heterosexual and expressive. You can be homosexual and expressive. You can be bisexual and expressive. It's all about self-expression. I'm enjoying it.
Okay, so what about your fashion? What do you think about your style?
So, you know, I'm one of those people, I'm a Gemini, so I can take it from boring, very traditional, like you see right here, but I will add some unique element to it. So if you look down, I'm wearing a slip-on, right? I'm wearing a slip-on with cow horns on it, and that's a velour slip-on. It's not just, it's custom-made. If you saw my Oscar gear, I wore kilt. I'll throw on a kilt in a minute with a black tie, as well as if you saw me on the Golden Globe carpet a couple of years ago, I had on tails with velvet shorts, Gucci shorts. I run the gamut. I do want to be more exploratory with it, though, and I do want to add a little bit more color in my style. But traditional with a twist is how I like to describe myself.
As far as Cam, I remember meeting Cam Newton at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He had a tuxedo on. He had his hair cut short, and he looked very classically handsome. And I loved that. So I thought he looked his best in that look. Then he got, you know, really eccentric with his fashions and also with his writing on social media. I don't know if you look at his social media page, but he started writing in, like, hieroglyphics almost, and it was, like, hurting my eyes to read it. So it just took such a turn from where he was. I like some of the stuff. I think it's cool to like take a chance, but I think some people, and if I'm keeping it a buck, some people, you know, when you have like too many accessories on, you got to take one off. Like some people just have too many things. I feel like just take one of the things off, but it is cool that he feels free to kind of go there with this stuff. And that means he's really confident in himself. And he feels like, you know what, I'm unapologetically me. And hey, this is who I am. And he's established a look now, a different look. As far as my fashion, I've never been a name brand girl. I don't care about that kind of stuff. I care about the color and the cut of something, how it works on my body. I think you can have a dress from Fashion Nova on that was under $100, paired with some heels that complement it. And I spend my money on my jewelry. You know, I have nice jewelry. And, you know, if it fits you well and the color complements you, I think you can almost wear anything, especially with women. We have a lot more options. You know, we can have a $10 dress on and the way it fits you. And ladies, it is about the fit. And gentlemen, the fit has to be there. But I'm a little bit of a glamour girl. I like, you know, kind of reverting back to the pageant days with some glam. And the edginess will come from like some side braids or something with my hair or my makeup. All right, moving on. Speaking of fashion, Pringles has teamed up with Crocs and created an ankle holster for your potato chips. Oh my God. Are you rocking this or not, Al? Are you going to have Pringles
rock it.
By your feet?
Yes, I'm gonna tell you why the boots. If production can put the picture back up, the boots look really comfortable, and conveniently, you know, this is, I think this is a dual marketing campaign where Pringles has associated themselves with a brand, a wearable, a shoe brand, a footwear, and it just makes it memorable, right? People will be talking about this, so it's a win-win for both of them. I could see myself hiking or walking a trail with this, sitting down at a break point, reaching down and grabbing a Pringle or two. And the best part about this, this is only $100. So if you don't like them, you can donate them.
Okay. Armand, what do you think?
Listen, I'm all for conversational pieces, and this is a conversation piece. And like, I love Crocs. Like, I have the regular Crocs, but I also have the Balenciaga platform Crocs that are like this thick, you know, and people always talk about, you know, you got these big moon boots on, your Kanye Crocs, but I love them. So I feel like, you know, why not add these to the collection? I mean, they wouldn't be an everyday wear, but you know, you throw it on with the red monochromatic look, you throw on your Pringles Crocs and you go out, you know, people are going to want to take pictures of you all day long. They're going to love your style, you know, and it's a good look. So I definitely would buy them.
That's so ugly. I'm not doing this. People who work out are not eating Pringles on the trail. And people who eat Pringles by the boatload like that ain't working out like that. In my opinion, I think they're so hideous. Yes, we're going to talk about them. But who's actually going to go buy Pringles Crocs? Oh, let me get the Pringles out of the sweaty part of around my ankle. I'm not having food by my feet. I don't know, y'all. I hope y'all really do
this. You weren't a Girl Scout, were you?
No, but what's that got to do with it? Like,
because when you're a Girl Scout or a Boy Scout, you know, you have to carry your food with you. So anything that helps carry your food, because you don't know what might happen, is a nice accessory. You put a check beside that accessory.
Okay, I get carrying your food, but does it got to be that close to the ground? Like, I just, okay.
But Pringles, I don't think you actually put the Pringles, like, I don't really care to have the actual Pringles in there. It's just more of the branding and the shoes.
So you wouldn't. Yeah, it would be functional for you. It would just be like the look.
Yeah, it'd just be the vibe that it's the Pringle Croc and I got them, you know?
I think we should order them, Armand.
Please, y'all should dress up as twins and wear them together and go out and have drinks. And please send me.
Well, red is my favorite color.
Red is my favorite color too. I can rock anything. I could do it. I'm gonna do it.
Oh, well, you go ahead and rock them twins with that red outfit. I would love to see it. All right. You know what, Pringles and Crocs? Send a couple pairs to TJF for Armand and Al.
That's
and
right.
They'll rock them for you, and you'll get some marketing from them, because I would love to see it personally. Just send me the sour cream chips and y'all can wear the shoes. All right, coming up next, Chrissy Teigen calls out a troll, and later, a woman does the unthinkable with an intruder. Keep it here. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. Chrissy Teigen recently clapped back at a troll who insinuated that she's always trying to stay relevant. The troll wrote, "Always trying to stay relevant by talking and keeping on having kids. No one cares." Chrissy replied and wrote, "Yes, very bored and need attention. And there is no other way in the world to get it than having kids." What are your thoughts, and how do you guys respond to the trolls? Armand, what do you think about this? Is she having kids for attention?
Baby, if my baby father husband was John Legend, EGOT, I'm having kids too, baby. All day, every day, all year long. So it just sounds like a hater. I just feel like trolls get online sometimes just to get a reaction out of people. And honestly, that's these people's lives. And how I respond to the trolls, if it's something like that, I probably would have responded and said something a little bit more nasty to them. But at the end of the day, you just got to realize these people look at you because you are a public figure, you are a celebrity, and they just want to make you have a bad day because they can't live the life that you live. At the end of the day. So a lot of these people are just miserable.
Facts. All right. Al, what do you think?
Listen, I ain't gonna lie, Claudia. And I tried my best when I saw this story come across. All right. I'm sorry. I am not a fan of Chrissy Teigen. I personally feel like, and I am a huge fan of John Legend, but I personally feel like that she needs to hire somebody to work with her on her personal branding and her personality, because to me it's very off-putting, and the fans of John Legend and even the fans, her own fans, will let you know it. They just not feeling how she comes across, the way she says it, her jokes, like how she trolls people. I mean, and I'm not feeling it. And I want to feel it because I'm 110% in support of John Legend. But I wish she just needs to work with somebody to put her in a better light, because the way she does it now, it's just not good to me, in my opinion, for her brand as well as for John Legend's brand. But if John loves it, if he likes it, I love it. But no, it's a no for me.
I like Chrissy Teigen. She used to be a banker model on The Deal or No Deal, got set up with John Legend, and then her life totally changed. And then her personality, I think like a lot of us, I mean, some people really, really love each and every one, each of us on this panel. And some people really hate us and we rub them the wrong way. And I think that's like, she's there for the people that like her brand of kind of, you know, irreverent kind of like her sense of humor. And you may hate it and you have very right to, Al, you know what I mean? But there's probably like millions of people that love it. You know, I personally like that kind of like dry kind of humor, but I get it. I think a lot of people that are real successful like that have almost an equal number of lovers and haters of their kind of shenanigans. But as far as trolls, I think it's ridiculous to think that someone is going to go as far as to give birth and bring a whole life into this world to try to be relevant for strangers on social media. I think she's in a happy marriage. She loves her husband. He clearly loves her. And they just had a baby. Like, y'all gotta stop thinking that everything is to be relevant. Everything's not to be relevant. Something is their life. They're doing it.
Let's be clear. The last kid they did not have. That's from a surrogate. And then John Legend has made it very clear in recent interviews and on the carpet, she said that she wants more kids. And he said, no. He said, no, no more kids. So, you know, I can understand where people get, you know, this opinion from.
So let me ask this.
What does that have to do with anything, her using a surrogate? I don't get what your point was.
Because she's not having the kid.
I think we should kind of leave that alone because she had a very painful miscarriage. Remember that? Remember?
Yeah, I get it, but she the last baby she didn't just have.
Okay.
Let me ask a quick question though. Okay, mm-hmm. So just hypothetically speaking, so what do we think that she gets out of it from like the baby? So what do you think that that's the, Al, like, her having these kids?
Oh,
like,
I don't know.
Where's the clout? Because that's what people are saying.
I'm not saying that I agree with the conversation. I just see where the conversation comes from. And I think they're piecing different interviews that they've done. So from the last carpet a couple of nights ago, when they were on the carpet, John Legend clearly said he did not want any more kids. And I think her saying that she wants kids, you know, people then piece things together because, they, you know, they're not there are a lot of people who are not fans of hers. Mm-hmm. So, and they say that she does a lot of things for clout. And so they're just picking this as another example of her doing things for clout, because clearly her husband has said that he doesn't want any more kids.
Wow, we're in a place in the world where a woman can't have a different opinion than her man. Like, he can say no and she can say yes, and that's a bad thing. I think that's just life. I think that if you're in a real relationship and a marriage, you're not always going to agree. I think this is a crazy story. I really do. But all right, hey, here in TGIF, we don't always agree. And that's why we do the show. All right, moving on. We have an update on the child custody battle between Jeezy and Jeannie Mae. According to new reports, after requesting full custody, Jeezy is now requesting split custody of his 2-year-old daughter with Jeannie. Jeezy claims that he's hardly seen his daughter in 2024 because Jeannie has allegedly failed to adhere to the custody arrangements that they agreed upon in mediation last year. What are your thoughts on this update, Al? What do you think?
Oh, I think this is interesting. See, the issue here is if you are claiming that you never see your daughter and you want primary custody, then let that be your argument. And like you said, I think you just read that he said he hasn't seen his daughter pretty much all of 2024. If that's the case and he feels like that's going to continue, I think he should fight to have, primary custody if he's not getting access to her. So it's kind of weird to me that now that story has changed. He's backed it down a little bit and now he doesn't want primary custody. So I don't know. I was for him when he was wanting primary custody because of the argument that he was making that, you know, she's never home. She's never around. It seems like somebody else is raising her kids. She said the mom, the brother, the nanny was watching the kids all the time. So he wanted primary custody. But now he's saying that he doesn't want primary custody. Now he wants dual custody so that he can actually see his child. So I think I need to know a little bit more information here before I can give you an informed opinion about it.
All right, Amon, thoughts?
I think the split thing might be a better idea because, you know, I feel like they can work on co-parenting together. And it's not like, well, you're taking my daughter, you have her full time. So now perhaps maybe they've worked it out. Maybe him and Jeannie Mai are in a better place and they're speaking on terms where, you know, they're ready to co-parent in a positive way. So I'm just thinking that's what it is. Cause God forbid he just decided like, hey, you know what? I don't want this responsibility all the time. Let me think about it for a second. And you take her 50% of the time. Cause I still need to be at the strip club, you know, or maybe he could, maybe did think about it like that, but I don't know. I just feel like sometimes when you just split it halfway, it's better for the child in the long run. And it shows good communication between the parents.
And you're right. I think it sounds like that they've opened up a better line of communication between mm-hmm. the two of them. I think you clearly can see with this shift, because this is a huge shift, asking for all of custody to, All right, I don't really have to have that. Now I'm willing to share.
Yeah, that makes it nasty.
I think sometimes people use these kind of tactics in their when they're battling each other, like, OK, I'm just going to go for full custody. And then they kind of come to a place where it's more realistic because, you know, damn well, most men especially do not want full custody of their kids. No. And they get it and they realize how hard it is. Like full custody is a lot of work. And I don't know if a lot of people are really cut out for that. And I hope they do get on a page where it is joint custody and it is fair, and the child can be around both parents and they can get back on a better accord, because at one point they really were there. All right, switching gears, a 33-year-old white man in Milwaukee is facing charges for murdering and dismembering a 19-year-old black woman after their first date. Maxwell Anderson is facing charges of murder, arson, and mutilating the corpse of Sade Robinson, but it doesn't end there. Sources are tying another young teen who reportedly went missing a few years ago near the same area that Sade was last seen to the case. Now, apparently, the now deceased victim and the missing teen went to elementary school together and worked at the same pizza shop years later. Wow. What are your thoughts on this tragic story, Armand? What do you think?
That's so eerie. It's giving Jeffrey Dahmer, just, you know, the straight version. I don't know. It just feels like, you know, these kind of white men, kind of weirdos, like fetishizing over black girls. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he slept with her and then, you know, murdered her. Like, this gives me some sort of weird fetish kink. And it's just, it's really unsafe and it's really unfortunate. It's scary, you know, because we've seen it happen to men before and now it's happening to young girls. I don't know. I don't like it. It's very scary.
All right, Al.
It's very interesting that you said that, Armand, because after they met for the date, she went back to his house and spent a few hours. After a few hours, that's when he was seen coming out, but she wasn't, right? And he ended up taking her car and driving through this fence at a park where this lake was and kind of dumped the remains. But when the cops went to his house, Amon, they found a sex dungeon in the basement. So that, you know, you might be onto something, that maybe he's fetishizing against whatever that word is, against women, black women, right? If the match is to with the other case, the missing teen. My thing here is two things. One, you know, this is what you got to worry about when you go to the other side, right? Everybody said black men are treating you so bad. So listen, this is some of the things that you got to worry about when you go to the other side and date non-black men, number one. Number two, this is why you should be allowed to ask any question you want on your first date. I feel like had she probably asked more questions about his background, more about him, then she may have seen one or two red flags that could have possibly, you know, kind of saved her from this very, very tragic ending. So I think women should definitely, especially black women, you need to be more careful. You need to be more careful, period. Especially first dates, going home with guys that you just met. And you should not be afraid to ask any question, any amount of questions when you're getting to know someone that you don't know.
I don't want to put blame on this victim for her dying and being murdered. This is some weird stuff right here. This is a him thing, you know? Who knows what the conversation was and who knows what he did to her? Did he drug her? Did he take her back to the house? Did she go on voluntarily? We don't know a lot of that stuff. And if her family's watching this, I'd hate for them to think that we're blaming her in some regard. And it doesn't just have to be a white man. People right now are just kind of crazy. Like, we do these stories all the time where people are just, I hate that we're just so far away from humanity. I hate that we're going on a date with someone to just try to get to know someone could end in you being dismembered or murdered like this. And that we can't even trust that in having drinks with someone, you know? And I think this is really sad. And a lot of times when things happen to women, when they're raped or when they're murdered, the blame usually falls on, well, what were you wearing? Well, you shouldn't have went with them. Well, you should do a better job of vetting. And it's like, well, what about who's raising these people? How are you like this? Why are you? And I don't think this is his first time. And I just feel like there's just a lot of really sick people out here in this world. It's going to make people just, you know, we talked about virtual and holograms, all that kind of stuff, and robots. Maybe sign me up for one of them things, because I'm scared of people right now.
Can I just say, I do feel like, I heard what you said it's not just white people, but I do got to say, that side seems to fetishize black men and black women a lot. And it can be dangerous. You know, we've talked about it many times on the show. We are people's fetish a lot of times.
And the cutting off the arms and legs, cut off our foot, cut off our leg, cut off our arm.
And I'm sure, I mean, black women are usually pretty, you know, in tune. I'm sure he probably was very good at manipulating to kind of
get this.
You know, like, not, a lot of times we're like, we're wary of things like spider sense, intuition. So he probably was good at it. And I wouldn't be surprised if there were several more victims that they uncovered. Look at that girl. Beautiful
very
girl.
Pretty,
so
very
sorry.
Pretty.
Coming up next, a woman's surprising reaction to an intruder. And later, we have played a fun game of hit or miss. We'll be right back. You don't want to miss it. Stick around. Welcome back to TGIF. All right, y'all. A woman recently confronted an intruder and did the unthinkable. Take a look.
I'm scared. I was dead.
Why do you keep wanting to come here?
There was somebody.
Why do you keep wanting to come here?
This place is safe. We're serious.
Give me a hug.
Now, this young man lives four houses down from the woman, and he was discovered hiding in her restroom. And based on the context, he was apparently on drugs and running away from his abusive brother. What are your thoughts on this unfortunate yet heartfelt moment, Al? What do you think?
I just have mixed emotions about this. You know, the one part was, it was just so good to see her endearing and exercising empathy and giving him a hug and listening to him. That part I like, because I'm like, wow, there's still some really good people in the world, because we read a lot and report on a lot of bad stories. And then the other side of me is, I have to say it, I don't care if anybody else wants to say it or not, but had the role been reversed as it relates to race, if there was a young black man in a white woman's bathroom hiding, I just don't think that we would be reporting about a person getting a hug. Instead, I feel like we would be reporting that a young black man got shot as an intruder. And that's where the mixed emotion comes in for me. But I also like the fact that in this conversation, you hear her talk about, yeah, I heard that you were going through some things, and she had empathy and she wanted to understand. And I also like the fact that most troubled people will always find solace with our black women, because black women usually are very nurturing, usually would take you in instead of, you know, throwing you out, and they want to nurture you and make you feel better. So I have mixed emotions on it, but at the end, I like the way she handled it.
I agree. Black women there for everybody else, but who is there for them? Armand, what do you think about this? And what would you do if you found a little white boy in your closet?
I don't know. What I think about it is, like, I feel so warm, because I'm like, you know what? This is why I love black women, because no matter what the age or, you know, stature is, like, you just, they just turned into that mother. You know, she was checking them like, but why are you doing it? Why are you coming here? I could kill you right now, but I'm not, you know? And then at the end of the day, she saw that that boy was breaking down. Clearly he has some mental issues. Clearly his house environment is very toxic. And he was just like, you know what? I'm just in the restroom because, you know, I feel safe here, you know? And she was just like, you know what? Give me a hug. And, you know, to me, that's like, He needs a mother. He needs that protection. Right. And she immediately went into that zone. I just think that Black women just naturally have that thing where they just go into that, you know, motherly nurturing zone. And I love that for us and our community. Now, had it been me, and he was, and that little boy was probably in my bathroom those times, I don't know what I would have done, honestly. I probably would have went off. But if he would have broke down that same way, I would have tried to help him too. But I definitely would have went to that house and tried to figure out what's going on here, because he keep right. coming over here saying he's afraid. So something else needs to happen, because he can't keep coming to my house. And then secondly, I'm going to have to figure out how this fool keep getting in my house.
Right.
That part. Black women, I've really been getting a lot of comments in my inbox and seeing a lot of you out. And we've been having these conversations about this show. And I know a lot of times it feels like a thankless job being a Black woman in America, especially with some of the negative talk about us and about you. And I just want to say, if no one's told you today about yourselves, despite the narrative of being angry, of being bitter, or being aggressive, or being masculine, you still find a way to have empathy for a complete stranger. And this isn't an isolated case. I see this happening a lot. I see Black women putting the weight of the world on their back and a lot of times not even getting thanked for it. So I'm glad you guys both had positive things to say about this woman. And kudos to you, because I don't know if a lot of people would have been as understanding as you were for a stranger. And I agree with you, Al. Had that been the roles have been reversed, we already know the tea on that. What would have happened if it was some young Black boy in a white woman's house? We already know what would have, for the most part, majority, not all. But it's, we see it all the time. People knock on someone's door or ring the doorbell and they get shot on the porch. So this woman to sit here and have empathy for someone that she could have been very scared of, especially in lieu of the last story we just did. Kudos to her, sister. Like, kudos to you, woman. All right. An elderly couple is going viral after they decided to wait 6 decades to have a wedding. The couple eloped back in 1964, but never planned a full on wedding. The husband said, "I wanted her to have a wedding." What are your thoughts on how important is a wedding for you, Amon?
Listen, I love this. This is another one of those feel-good stories for me, because it just goes to show, no matter how old you are, you know, at the end of the day, you're not done until you're dead. So if he wanted his wife to have a wedding, it doesn't matter if it was, you know, 6 years or 60 years. She got her wedding. They did it. And, you know, their whole family was there. Grandchildren was there. And they were able to share that moment. And to me, I love this because, you know, there's so many times you see older people either divorced or still married, but living in separate rooms, sleeping separately. So this goes to show you that love still can exist beyond, you know, and I like that for them, because I think more people can look up to this type of love and aspire for that. And you know, a lot of times we try to rush. Oh, I need to be married. We need to do this. You need to do that. No, there's no time limit on this. If we're really in love, it'll happen when it needs to happen. So I'm happy for them.
All right, Al, what do you think?
I agree, Armand. Honestly, Armand, I can see you having a big old wedding.
Oh, yeah.
You should really, I think you should think about it and maybe help us out with some ratings and have it on TGIF. I think it's really cool. I mean, I'm a sucker for love. I'm a sucker for marriages that last a really long time. And I think he was like, you know, what can I do now to make my wife feel, you know, wanted and still desired and loved? And he was like, let me give her something that we weren't able to do, and it's a wedding. And it's never too late. I mean, everything about this story just won my heart.
Production, can you put that picture back up of them? Look at the body language. I'm like, did you just mess up and you had to make up for her? She's like, I'm sick of you. I done waited for 6 decades now. I don't know what
the I can barely walk now.
Right.
You want to get married.
Oh yeah, you know, I done caught you cheating with Gladys for the fifth time, and now you finally got to make it. You got to throw a Hail Mary and give me a wedding now. But six decades later, okay. But you know what? I have a friend, a couple, really famous baseball player that married my one girl. And they got married. They did a Vegas wedding, but like no one went to it. It was just like them. They've had one of the best marriages I've ever seen in my life, like happily married. It wasn't about the wedding ceremony. It was about, we just want to do this for us. And they are like a couple that I really, really look up to. And, you know, a lot of times we feel like left out because like we didn't get to experience it. But if it works for them and it makes them get to 60 years of marriage, then I'm all for it. I think it's cute. And I hope, hopefully the spark is still there. And hopefully it wasn't a Hail Mary wedding. It was like a I love you wedding and not a don't leave me. Okay, I finally give you what you want. We might as well. But I think it's very cute to see old people, like, you know, hopefully there's still a spark. All right, keep it locked, because coming up next, do men need to face the trauma from their mothers? And later we are playing a fashionable game of hit or miss. We'll be right back. Don't miss it. Welcome back to the show. Soulmates, hit that like button and show your favorite trio some love on TGIF. Oh, all right, y'all. Dating expert April Mason recently shared that men should focus on healing from the trauma that was caused by their mothers before searching for a submissive woman. April said it becomes a problem. And instead of them just being that masculine man, what they try to do is be overbearing and try to get women to do things because they don't have a real example. What are your thoughts, and what do you think should you should focus on before securing your mate or mom? What do you think?
I definitely do think that you should focus on your traumas, because I had to work on some of my traumas that I had from my mother for a while. But I think that it's not just your mother. It's just childhood and different traumas in general when securing a mate, because you've got to learn how to be comfortable with who you are. And a lot of times we are broken people trying to get in relationships and have not healed ourselves. And so we just take all that baggage and all that trauma into our relationships, and we trauma bond a lot of times too. So it just becomes a mess. So I think it's not just a thing where, you know, you need to work on the trauma from your mother. It's just traumas from your past as a whole for me, that I'm realizing that, you know, I probably should have worked on before getting into a relationship, because a lot of times I find myself trauma bonding and then it just becomes issues later on down the line.
Do you think it's extra significant when it's with your mom? Because I know we've definitely had, we touched upon it lightly on this. And also, you know, I think when a man has issues with his mom, that's got to be really painful. You know, that's the woman, you hear, especially you see other relationships where people are really loved by their mother. You know, I can see that being extra more painful, you know?
I don't know, because I feel like it could be the mom, but then too, like a man not having their father around to kind of teach them and show them how to treat a woman or treat a human being, you know, that could be a thing too. And a lot of Black men don't have their fathers around to really guide them and teach them how to be men. And sometimes when they do have their father around, they're like men like Lil Boosie, you know, where they put their sons out to get heads by strippers. You know what I mean? So they're teaching them the wrong idea on how to treat women. So these men grow up to be dogs because they feel like that is what straight men do. A masculine man does that. This, you objectify women versus, you know, showing a sensitive side, because then you're soft, you're gay. So there's a lot of trauma that goes into becoming a man. You know what I'm saying? From both sides.
All right. Al, what are your thoughts on the story?
I think this story is conflated. I think it's remember, she's saying that guys need to heal the trauma that they have with a single mother. She's talking about single mothers, right? And I 110% do not agree with that. I think single mothers do their best trying to teach their young men how to be young men, but they can't teach them how to be men. That's two different conversations. You can be a single mother, and I think the single mothers around this country have done phenomenal jobs in raising young boys without having a man president in the house to teach them how to be boys. All right, those are two different conversations. So men need to heal their traumas created by their missing fathers more than they need to heal by the traumas that they've seen their mothers go through. And let's be very clear, there is tons of literature, tons of research, tons of papers written about a father's impact on a child's development, and the lack of a father's presence gives you what we see happening real time today. You see a great deal of poverty, drop out from school, you see drugs, you see children out of wedlock, you see men in prison. These are direct effects of the man not being present in the home of the child during his development. So as a young little boy, even though his mother can teach him many things, she can't teach him how to be a boy better than a father and how he teaches a man how to be a boy, how to follow rules with consequence, right? So I think I understand why she took this position, because it would spark conversation, but it couldn't be, in my opinion, any further from the truth.
I'm glad you said that. Right. I hate when I hear criticism of single mothers. I know, Armand, you have a different situation. I'm not insensitive to that. I do understand that. But for the majority of women that were left to be single mothers, they didn't leave themselves for the most part, right? And it's like a lot of the blame comes on them, the parent that ended up staying. I think the parent that ended up staying should be the one that gets all the flowers and gets the credit, because they usually do the best they can, much like your dad, Armand. Like, the person that stayed is the one that is stuck with the burden of raising. Yes, the blessing, we can say all that, but that is the person that has the burden. That's the person trying to make it work. That's the person that did not take the easy way out and bounce and leave. Well, this is too much. I can't take this. And I hate when I hear these things about single mothers, because I think the most, for the majority, of course, I cannot say absolutely, most people, I think, want to have a partner to help them raise their kid and don't want to do it by themselves. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I agree. I think it's too much a dissing and piling on a woman that's single, like she chose that life. A lot of times when I sat down and made that baby, it was, I ain't never leaving. I live, girl. We gonna make this. I want this. And then it doesn't end up that way. All right. I'm glad we're having these kind of conversations. A North Carolina student has been arrested after slapping his teacher in a now viral video on social media. He's facing 3 misdemeanor charges for assault on a government official. What are your thoughts? And what would you do if you were the teacher, Al, and you the teacher? I'm trying to slap you. What you doing? You ducking, you bucking. What you doing?
Ooh, I've been tested. I've been tried. I have to say, if I got slapped like this, I would have to resign. I would have to probably prepare myself for trial, because I would have killed that little boy, honestly. And there's so many layers to this, because I want everybody to be very clear that the charges were brought against him about a government official, and that's not by happenstance. The assault on a government official is going to give that young man more criminal history and time than assaulting a regular person or assaulting a school teacher. And in the state of North Carolina, they just not having it. I think that it's just unfortunate. I just feel like it's very sad that our education system has come to this low, where kids can even talk to an adult like that, number one. Let's just talk about this. Talk to an adult like that, number one, in the middle of class. Number two, put your hands on an adult like that, not once but twice. And number three, think it's ever okay as a black young man to put your hands on a woman. There's so many layers to this that we can unpeel right now. We just don't have the time. There's so many wrongs here. And this is why I am a very strong advocate of making parents responsible in these cases for their kids' actions like this. Because we are seeing in the past year, students have broken teachers' legs, put them in a coma. I mean, it's absolutely unacceptable.
Armand, what do you think?
I just think that it was very uncomfortable to watch. You know, I felt really bad. And if it were me, I probably would have fought that kid. And I just hate that I see a lot of videos like this, and it's always a black kid, you know, hitting a teacher or coming at a teacher. And at the end of the day, I just feel it. You know, it's gotten so nasty, and people are egging it on, and people do a lot of things for attention now. And it's just disgusting. So
I'm not going to blame the education system. I'm going to blame these ghetto parents and trash parents. And not just what black kids. I've seen white kids too buck up on teachers too. I do feel especially when it's a black kid, I'm like, we're playing into the stereotypes, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have any fear in your house. And maybe you have a disrespect to your mom, like we talked about earlier. Maybe your dad's not around to put the fear of God in you and think there's no consequences when you do something wrong. You're bigger than your mother now. Your mom can't whoop you anymore. So there's no fear in you. Because weren't y'all nervous when you went to school? If you did something like this, when you got home, there's going to be all hell to pay. I would never do. We couldn't even talk back to our teachers because we was going to get told on. And my mother would slap me in the mouth. Till I was about 17, actually. She was not playing. There was no talking back. Amazing. That's my job.
But the family is probably just as ghetto as him. So they probably said, go slap her.
What that teacher say to my baby and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nah. Get fear back in your kids.
What are we teaching? What are we teaching young black men that they can put their hands on women?
Well, look at the look at music, look at videos, look at life, look at social media. It's celebrated, it's laughed at, and look at those videos that get all the likes. That's where it is. Unfortunately, social media is destroying our society. All right, we got to go to break. Coming up, we are playing a game of hit or miss. Stay tuned. Welcome back. All right, y'all, in honor of the WNBA draft that took place earlier this week, we are going to play a fun, fashionable game of hit or miss. All right, y'all, let's cue the music. First up, we have Angel Reese. Hit or miss?
Hit. She looked beautiful. Everything about this, loved it. Hit.
Armand?
I'm going hit for sure. She looks amazing. I love the height on her. I love the drape V, the plunging neckline. I love everything. I like the hood. I like it.
This is a hit if I've never said a hit before. She looked like a supermodel. The waist is snatched. I don't know if y'all saw the back. The back is all open. She looked sexy, classy, and like the star that she is. You killed that. Killed it. All right, next we have Caitlin Clark. Hit or miss?
Miss. This is a miss. This is a miss from everything, from the hair, the face, the jacket, the short. I don't like nothing about this. It looks like mashed potatoes with no gravy.
You know what? I'm not going to be that hard on her. That's Prada. They that what I understand costs quite a bit of money. Everything about her other than the Prada was a miss, but the Prada outfit was a hit for me.
She overpaid. You can get that, like I say, at Ross. That looks like you are, that does not look like you're going to one of the biggest days of your life. She just lacks style and flair. She's a great player. She may not miss on the court, but she's definitely missing in fashion. I hope she gets to elevate her game with, you know, when she builds her team, because this is giving very basic. Aaliyah Edwards, hit or miss?
Miss. This is a miss, and it's the hair for me. That's missing it with the white in the front. I don't like it. I'm sorry. It looks a mess.
Oh, I don't want to say a miss. It's just a half a miss. I just don't want to say anything negative about WNBA and women.
You know that's a miss, Al.
Oh, Claudia, go to you.
I'm waiting on you. I can't go to you, Al.
Okay. A miss.
All right, moving on. Cameron Brink, hit or miss?
That's a hit. She looked good. I love that color. I love the black and white with the white outline. I love the deep thigh high, and I love the cut on the side. That's sexy. I love it.
Okay, Al, real quick.
Oh, definitely a hit. I'm going to say I'm enjoying the femininity of all these ladies, though. I got to give them all a hit for that, but definitely a hit right here.
Hit, she looks great, but that's a high slit. Do we have time for this one? We don't have time, do we? We don't have time. Camila Cardoso. Okay, never mind. Never mind.
Hit.
We went. Okay, hit.
Hit.
Hit. All right. I'm going to thank my co-hosts, Al Reynolds and Armand Wiggins, for joining me tonight and being a hit here tonight. Thank you for watching us on Fox Soul. Stay tuned for Street Flavor. Y'all have a great weekend. I'm going to try to get drunk so I can do the scene because I done told y'all and shared with y'all and child.
I can't wait to see the scene.
Yeah.
You might not see it. Bye.